Pleasure for Lynn and myself to be with you this morning. I grew up in the Back Creek Church in Charlotte, and I've appreciated over the years the testimony and example that New Sterling Church has been to our denomination, our presbytery, to this community, and as a witness and encouragement to so many. And it's good to be with you this morning on this Father's Day. And we trust God's blessings as we gather. And the message today is grace for dads. Not only grace for dads, but grace for us all, because we need that grace that only God provides through His Son, Jesus Christ. The scripture this morning is a familiar passage, Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son. And I'll begin reading with verse 11, Luke 15. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. The Lord bless this reading and hearing of this, His holy word. Back in 1999, in April, a friend of mine and I went to New York City and visited the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. Some of you have maybe heard their choir. I was impressed that a book that the minister had written about that church, that it had a ministry to drug addicts, homosexuals, transvestites, people with AIDS, all kinds of situations. And yet they had an amazing broad ministry to actors and actresses, lawyers, doctors, a whole cross-section of people. But I was most struck by their prayer ministry. So this friend and I went up there, and we spent all day Sunday. In fact, we sat through or prayed through 4 2-hour services. We heard 2 services, and we prayed with a group of believers through 2 services, 2 hours each. I'd also heard about their prayer service, that they had 1,600 people gathered for prayer on Tuesday evening. They began at 7 o'clock. People would start coming at 5 o'clock to gather to pray. And I have a testimony from one of the young men and fathers in that church body. And I would like to have that played right now. There is some applause in it, and it goes rather quickly, but I would like for you to listen very carefully to this young man's testimony.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to give God all the glory and honor, all the praise that he's so due for all the wonderful things that he's done in my life. I thank the Lord for taking a young man hooked and bound by crack, separated from his wife and his children and running the streets like a madman. I'm so grateful that God can take someone like that and hold him in the palm of his hands and love him and nurture him and bring him to a place in his life where he could surrender all to him. I love the Lord with all my heart today, and I continue to thank him every day for my wife and my children, because God has made my life new. I don't have to do crack anymore. I don't have to run the streets anymore. I got enough beauty in my home that I don't have to seek beauty anywhere else, because God is in my home and God is in my children and God is in my wife. I thank God for what he's done in my life. You're here today and you might have somebody that's hooked on a drug or something. Don't stop praying, because God answers prayer. He answered the prayer of a hurting, crying wife, and he brought her husband back. He brought crying children, their father, back. But it was only when I surrendered and I was able to look at him for who he is. It only took one look, and I surrendered all. It took me away from sin.
That's the kind of world we live in. And we would like to have fathers who all attended church, had nice, stable homes, and there could be many that would rise up and call them blessed, and there are many dads like that, but yet there are also many from broken homes that God desires to reclaim for his own. And I'm thankful that testimony of that young man and how God worked in his life. And that would be the greatest thing that we could do in terms of celebrating Father's Day and celebrating our Father, Heavenly Father's grace and his reclaiming power upon our lives. We have that commandment that says, honor your father and mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. And so in light of that fifth commandment, so we do honor our dads on this Father's Day. But there is a great responsibility that we have. And in the second commandment, God gave this word, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So the blessings of the fathers and parents can be passed on for generations, but there is that warning from that commandment that the sins of the fathers can be passed on to generations as well. And only the grace of God, only the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is able to break those chains and those cycles, that we might know the love of God to thousands, generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. There is that related word in Ephesians 6 about honoring our fathers and mothers, and it also says, fathers and parents, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the instruction, the training and instruction of the Lord. So we do have a responsibility. Philip Yancey wrote the book, What's So Amazing About Grace, and he gives an example of this chain that takes place described in the second commandment. There was a father who was in a working class category of society in Chicago. He had 10 children. And through the pressures and demands, he became an alcoholic. And with his drinking, there was less money for his wife and for his family. And in the presence of those 10 children, he commanded his wife to get out of the house and leave home. And with those children sobbing, they saw their mother pack her bags and walk out and away from that home. Daisy was the 8th child among those 10. She lived to be 100 years old. And she could never forgive her father for what he did. That dad, through the course of the years, wandered into a Salvation Army service. And one of the requirements for food was that you sit through the service. And he thought that that was the thing he needed to do in order to enjoy a meal. And so he sat through that worship service. And he even prayed a prayer to receive Jesus Christ at the close of that service. And he says he was amazed that the sinner's prayer actually worked in his life. It changed him. He gave up alcohol. He began to read and study the Bible. And he sought to be reconciled to his children. He went to each of them one by one to ask their forgiveness. And he says, there is no way that I can undo the things that I did to you and to this family. But he asked for their forgiveness. And 9 of the 10 did forgive their dad for what they did when they were so much younger and what he did to their family. But Daisy, this 8th child of those 10, could never forgive her father. She says, I don't want to be like him. And she never took any alcohol. But through the course of her life and with her family, she was bitter towards her dad. And though she didn't order them out of her house, she treated her kids in a similar way to how her dad had treated them. She never forgave her dad, and even though he lived about 8 houses down the street, and she passed by to go to the grocery store or to catch the bus, she never saw her dad again. Even when he was dying and wanted to see her, she would pass by, but she would not see her dad, and she didn't before he died. She, too, had a daughter whose name was Margaret. She had 4 children. She, too, didn't want to be like her mother. But she, too, had the same tendencies that her mother had in her relationship with her children. I won't describe how she verbally abused them and shunned them and ridiculed them and put them down. She had a son named Michael. And through his growing up years, he had some issues with dabbling in drugs, and she couldn't seem to break into his life. And so she shunned him. And for 26 years, they had no relationship. And he, too, refused to see his mom. And so we see that there is. And Margaret read her Bible. She was a professing Christian. But yet you see this chain and cycle that took place from the dad to the daughter, Daisy, to her daughter, Margaret, and to the effects that it had on her son, Michael. So these things do happen. And they're sad when they're broken relationships and never restored, never reconciled, never any peace. So we're thankful for the wonderful examples of those homes and families where God's blessings do abound. Good relationships, affirming and loving relationships. But we all have to know, and we all do, the struggles that we have, because even the best of us are all sinners needing God's saving grace. We have 4 children. I tell people that I used to be cool, calm, and collected until I had kids. And then my patience was tested rather extensively. And I would see, as our kids grew and at the dinner table, they would start arguing or bickering, and they always knew how to push either their parents' or their siblings' buttons, especially at dinner time. And then I began to wonder, where did they get such a spirit and attitude? And then I had to remember, they got it from their mom and me. And it showed me, as a minister, I needed the grace of the Lord Jesus before I could really tell my kids about God's forgiveness and love. I needed to affirm that myself and receive it anew and afresh, because my kids pick up my attitudes and my habits just as I look at myself in the mirror and see my parents sometimes coming out in the words and the attitudes that I express. So our kids pick up what we do as well. But the important principle was, before I can really tell them and demonstrate the grace of Christ, I needed it myself. I needed to go to the cross. I needed to receive anew and afresh the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus. And then I could love and share that grace with my kids in a better way. And so we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all need his loving grace and care. And the parable of the prodigal son is that portion of Scripture that we can understand God's love and grace for us. There's a prodigal son in each of us, in each of our hearts. I didn't read that passage, but there's an elder brother in each of our hearts, and an estrangement from their dad, just as the prodigal son demonstrated that in wanting his inheritance and taking it and squandering it till he had nothing. Or the elder brother who resented the celebration when his younger son came home, because he hasn't felt treated with such a welcome and celebration for his faithfulness in staying at home with his dad. But we see that when we recognize our sins, just as the testimony of that young man hooked on crack cocaine came to an understanding of Almighty God in answer to the prayers of his family as well as his church family. And he came to his senses and came home. And the joy and the love and the thanksgiving and praise was given to God. That's our opportunity and our privilege, that through all the experiences of life, the hardships as well as the blessings, to show us how much we need God's grace. And I think too often we have a picture that God is an angry God and that we have to clean up our act before we can come home. And yes, that younger son did come to his senses and said, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you, my father. And he went home. But here we really see the picture of God's love. The father didn't just stand back and withhold his love till his son expressed that repentant, broken-hearted desire. But it was the father's love, looking for his son and seeing him in a distance, runs to him, throws his arms around him, kisses him, gives him a ring, gives him a robe, gives him a celebration. That is the heart of God, our Heavenly Father, as we say in the Lord's Prayer, as we read in Scripture, as we understand the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the relationship to His Heavenly Father. And by God's grace, and on the basis of what, of everything that Jesus Christ has done for us, that is the relationship that God gives to us. As we would acknowledge Him, acknowledge our need, and come, just as we are, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And the chorus of that song says, just as I am and waiting not. Well, that's the second stanza. Just as I am, you will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because your promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. And just as was said in the children's emphasis this morning, the reason that we can celebrate Father's Day is because there's a God in heaven who is our Heavenly Father. And just in that testimony, as all praise and honor and glory is due Him, so all praise and honor and glory is due to that Heavenly Father. But we can also celebrate our earthly fathers as God uses them. Bad examples or good examples, to see our need, to trust Him, to have Him come and to reach down and to grab us and to turn our lives around, that we might love our spouses, that we might love our kids, that we might love others in the church and in our families and in our community, and where we work, where we go to school, and in all the relationships that we have, that we can know the wonder of that relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, and then that we may demonstrate it as Christ lives in us and as the Holy Spirit lives in us, that others, in looking at us, might see Him and long for that Savior as well. Whatever your need in life is, it may be full of blessings, it may be full of heartache or disappointments or frustrations, God gives us that invitation to look to Him, to trust Him, to receive His word of grace, His word of welcome, His word, as we heard in the Sunday school lesson, a word of redemption, sealed and secured by the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and extended in that gospel invitation to all who would hear, all who would believe, all who would receive, and all who would embrace it to share it with one another. May God give us that grace to trust Him, to know His grace in Jesus Christ and that of our Heavenly Father, and then to share that gift from Him to one another.